Harper to the right, give is to Jake. No, pitch play, far side of the field, into the open, Terry, down the middle of the field and gone. Shaq Terry will take it to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Shaq Terry. Right along the hash marks and takes it 45 for the score. Right formation, right and left. Jake McKenzie back in there as the B-back, second and goal at the two. And the option starts near side, taking it, Burks, end zone, touchdown. Touchdown, Chandler Burks. 2 yards off to the left, and it's 13-7 Kennesaw State. Third down and six from the Owl 49. Shotgun Bahar. In motion starts Jake Powell to the right. And Bahar takes the snap. Here comes the pressure. Screens it near side. Jolly. Jolly going to run into traffic. Ball comes out. And the Owls are going to fall on this one too. Down around the 33-yard line. Jace White is the guy who stripped it out. Sumter to the left. Now Ezra Naylor in the game aligned to the right. B-back McKenzie shivers and Reed to the A's. In motion starts Reed. Now the option pitch. Reed coming near side. Gets to the corner. Takes it to the end zone. Touchdown TJ Reed. TJ Reed from 10 yards out. It's 20-14. Harper right, Sumter left. Option coming near side. Burks end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown Chandler Burks from a yard away. Owls up two turnovers. Owls turn two turnovers into scores. And they're an extra point away from doubling them up and going up 28-14. Second and one at the 36. Shotgun Burks. Harper right, Sumter left. Dropping to throw is Chandler. Stepping up in the pocket now. Airs it down the field. Sumter is down there. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Justin Sumter! Dumas was right with him, and Chandler hung it up there, and Sumter comes down with it. 36-yard touchdown, and one of the biggest plays of the game so far. Second down and seven from the 47. There is Burks dropping to throw. Burks airing it down the field. Got Harper wide open, and he's going to take it all the way to the 11-yard line. Xavier Harper, that's exactly the way to keep him from firing up. Come out, Dumas had the cover on that. Been victimized by Sumter and now Harper. And if you want to bring up your corners, go ahead. Thompson to try to add an important field goal here. It'll be about a 23-yard attempt. Snap is on target. The spot and the kick is good. And it's 38-21, 10:34 left to go in the third. Here's Burks under center, Owls need to get it out to the 25. Pitch Holland going far side, gets around the corner, first down, all the way out across the 30, is shoved out of bounds at about the 33. Big first down as we wind toward the 6-minute mark and now under it. Sun trying to break through as Burks comes up under center. Chandler takes the snap, starts the option near side. Chandler keeps it himself, cuts into the open, cuts it back at the 5, takes it to the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Chandler Burks, and it's 44-21. It's second down and goal. Bahar awaiting his shotgun snap. Clark aligned to the left, the tight end. And here's the snap, and now Bahar gonna fade it far side. Intercepted in the end zone! Intercepted by the Owls! Anthony Gore! The Owls turn him away, and they now have picked off a pass in 11 consecutive games. The Owls are plus 3 in the turnovers, and boy, Bahar threw it right to him. Pressure coming, Bahar rolling out, and Bahar's going to be tripped up and sacked. Ball comes loose at the end of the play, and I think the Owls got it down around the 12-yard line. They did. Bryson Armstrong, and it was Big Z who fell on the ball. And the Owls about to put it away. Under center, Burks, second and goal at the half-yard line. Burks follows McKenzie, end zone, touchdown. Touchdown, Kennesaw State. It's 51-21 with an extra point to follow. Fourth turnover of the game, and the Owls are 8:44 away from clinching a Big South championship. So Brian Newberry gets the ice first bucket.
You see Chandler Burks now trying to distract head coach Brian Bohannon.
Let's talk about this. Hey, there's a minute. There's 33 seconds left, son. There's nothing to talk about.
You know coach is
getting
it.
Here we go.
Here we go. Get them all.
And there it is.
All right.
Coach Bohannon.
Well, all right.
Doused by the Gatorade bucket. 13 seconds, one snap. Separates the Owls from celebrating a championship. Bahar going to hand it off. Pete Guerrero. They will not stop it. And the Kennesaw State Owls are indeed the 2017 Big South champions. They take the automatic qualifier into the FCS playoffs. Go the Owls. Final score, Owls 52, Monmouth 21. This is the Final Word Podcast, the playoff edition. First time we've ever said that around here as Kennesaw State prepares to go into battle their first ever playoff game. And they're going to take on a familiar opponent, the Samford Bulldogs, who, of course, they opened the season with weirdest game thus far, anyway, in the history of the program. And, of course, everybody remembers the 3.5 hour or whatever it was weather delay at halftime that kind of flipped the momentum in that one. Full boat today. Brian Giffen, Tutan Reyes, Brandon Joseph is here, and of course Nathan's not on the sidelines, but he's here also. And guys, for me, and I think the players would agree, I love the fact, you talk about added motivation, I love the fact that you've won 10 games in a row. The only game you lost all season was Samford over there, and all the weird stuff that happened, a game you were dominating at halftime. How much more motivation do you need? It's a playoff game against a team you owe one to.
Well, you know, after the game against Monmouth, the players were ready to celebrate, but they are also ready to think about the next week. And you heard many people on that team talk about a repeat or a replay with Samford. That was on August 31st. 28-23 loss, that stuck in those guys' craw. And I think the first three games of the season, that game lingered a little bit. They're ready to put that one behind them and get a victory over Samford.
Yeah, I was at the announcement on Sunday morning, and the players, when their name came up, they were hosting, they were excited, and then when Samford popped up below them, they were about ready to flip over tables. They were so jacked. They were looking forward to this. This is the game that they wanted. Coach Bohannon actually had to tell his players, calm down, we still have 6 days till we play. Keep it in check. But that's what you want to see. You want to see the players go out there motivated, and they're going to have a little bit extra for Samford.
And as a former player, I tell you what, you don't get many opportunities in the same season to right a wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's the only blemish on Kennesaw State's record this year was the loss to Samford. As you said, Brian, just dominating the entire game, and then that 3.5 hour delay just threw something off, the momentum or something off a little bit, and Kennesaw State couldn't get back going in that third quarter. So right now the players, they're definitely excited. They're ready to go out. And you know, Coach Bohannon always talks about when your Tuesdays, your Wednesdays, your Thursdays, and get ready for that Saturday. But you know that the players out there are ready to get to Saturday and take on Samford to beat them and continue to move on to playoffs.
This has been a team all year that has been led by its players, its veteran players, Chandler Burks, Izzy Sam. I mean, the names kind of go on and on and on. And the way that this team has put together this 10-game winning streak, it's really been led by, and I think kept in balance by, those guys. And it's safe to say those guys will be the ones who see to it that all the players on the team this week take it just that way. Win Monday, win Tuesday, win Wednesday. That's really served them well. Business as usual should be the approach.
Well, and I think that as these awards roll in, and they certainly are rolling in for this Kennesaw State team from the head coach all the way down, you know who your leaders are. They have been consistent. And I mean, one of the things about Chandler Burks, when we came in last year, he was not the starter at the beginning of the season. This year he was. We had a lot of confidence in him, but I think above and all, he has gone way above the confidence level we have seen on the field, his decision-making. I mean, he has just been a tremendous leader on the field, and that is where it's going to begin for Kennesaw State. That run offense and Chandler Burks, I think Samford probably wanted to play somebody else besides Kennesaw State.
I mean, Samford knew going in that they stole one at home, for lack of a better term. The lightning delay really did play out. You guys were there. Nathan, you talked about it multiple times. The amount of tape that Samford could retape their players. Kennesaw didn't have that. Just the condition. Samford was in their home locker room. They were comfortable. Kennesaw didn't have enough chairs for everybody to stay comfortable. Well, now the script is flipped. Now you're coming into Fifth Third Bank Stadium if you're Samford. Now you lose that advantage. Now you have a motivated team that their only blemish is you, knowing that that team should have beaten you in their mind. They're riding a 10-game win streak. If you're Samford, you're right. You don't want to play Kennesaw. This is the last game you want. You would have rather traveled to Northern Iowa like Mama did.
Coach Bohannon talks about his team and how they're just unfazed, unblemished at anything that comes their way. And I think you're going to see a lot of the same. One of the things we're talking about, all these awards that the Owls have gotten, I think it was like 11 players that are first or second team Big South All-Conference players. But you got guys like Shaq Terry and Darnell Holland,
And these guys, not necessarily upset, but a little bit disappointed that they didn't get the recognition. So you see how deep this team is and how hungry guys still are. They're like, you know what? If you didn't know about us then, after this week, you're definitely going to know about us. So it's not just the awards, but it's how the mentality that Coach Bohannon has instilled in his team in terms of competing. They're not only competing with other players on the team, they're competing against themselves, competing against obviously other players that they go against. So just that effort, attitude, toughness, we've seen it 10 consecutive games winning, and let's keep it going. You know, keep the train going.
Too, you can speak to this. I mean, most coaches I've ever worked around would tell you the biggest improvement that you make as a team is from game one to game two. And obviously the good teams are ones that get better week after week after week. You can certainly make that case for the Owls. And, you know, I spoke to Coach Bohannon yesterday, and he made the point that even though they outplayed us in the third quarter, that's really the difference in that game. You still were right there knocking on the door and didn't convert a fourth down in their end of the field to keep the drive going, or you really would have had a pretty good chance to win that game regardless of the delay.
Definitely, and I think what coaches often say is you don't stay the same, you get better or you get worse, and we've seen progressively throughout the season that the Owls have gotten better. They've found different ways to win. If one phase of the team was kind of lacking that day, defense made up for offense, special teams controlled the field position, allowing offense to score. Offense just, you know, dominated and blew people out. So collectively, they have been getting better. And again, as you said, Brian, aside from that third quarter of that first game, this team has been pretty solid the entire year.
Yeah, we look to that North Greenville game, that last drive that changed the course of the season. Well, what was the big knock before those games? They haven't put together four quarters of football. They didn't put together four quarters of football against Samford. We saw the last 2 weeks, Charleston Southern Monmouth, what happens when they put together four quarters of football, and it's not pretty for some high-level opponents.
Well, and you also, that very first game, you had Justin Thompson miss two field goals, I believe, in that game. And he comes back and recovers and is a special teams player of the year for in the Big South. So, and if you kind of crack open the nut of Samford, they had a tough loss against UGA, FBS opponent, but they had a bad loss against Western Carolina and a bad loss against Chattanooga, both of them who have under 500 records for the season. Samford comes in at 8-3, ranked number 14, and no disrespect to them, and Chris Hatcher's done an amazing job over there with the Bulldogs. They have been given the nod since the season began and ranked when a lot of people think they should have fallen out of that top 25. Mm-hmm. They were lucky to get into the FCS playoffs. They weren't sure they were going to. Now, they're going to have a lot of motivation to play, too. Regional game. They're on the road. We talked about the recruiting aspect. But you're not the champion, not the Southern Conference champion. Wofford won the Southern Conference championship. You're going against a championship team that has won 10 in a row. And, you just got to feel really good where Kennesaw State is mentally. And Coach Bohannon has consistently talked about what Tu said. Win Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday will take care of itself. That's not going to change this week.
When you look at Samford, the things that stand out, obviously they're very good on defense, particularly up front. And, you know, they do, as a SoCon team, they're certainly familiar with defending the option, you know, between the Citadel and, of course, Wofford. But the other thing about him is their quarterback is a really dangerous player, Devlin Hodges. He's particularly dangerous when you get him off his spot and he begins to scramble. So a key for the Owls, and Coach made this point yesterday, is don't let people get behind you. That's really a little bit of what happened defensively, at least, over there. A couple of times their receivers got behind these guys when they had Hodges off his spot and on the move. He's really good right then. He's not necessarily a huge threat to run, but his ability to improvise, a little bit like Ben Roethlisberger on the next level.
Yeah, I was going to say the same exact thing. He has a tremendous arm, has been getting it done the entire season. One of the positives for the Samford team, and he spreads it out to his receivers, and he's very pretty accurate with the ball. Back to Kennesaw, the one thing I've said, and I think Nate and I were walking to the park a lot after the game last week, it doesn't matter, though, what I've seen, it doesn't matter if you have that one all-star player. I'm convinced that one player is just not going to beat this team.
Yeah.
You need a balanced attack offensively, a solid defensive attack, and for whatever reason, the Owls have been able to thwart that any team they've played this entire season. So as good as the quarterback and receiver are for Samford, the defense for this Owls team is pretty daggone good as well.
Yeah, we saw three or four quarterbacks come in, and the Owls have played them that we have all said the same thing. We need to watch them as they move out the pocket. Yeah. We need to watch their running ability. And what do the Owls do? They counteract it perfectly. The secondary does a great job of staying with guys and covering them. There was one play a couple of games ago. It was 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds. Lockdown coverage, get a coverage sack. This is what that team does. Their communication is so fine, and the defensive line does a great job of, one, maintaining containment, and two, letting the middle get pressure, and then if they bring a Bryson Armstrong or a Jace White or a Taylor Hinkle, applying extra pressure while keeping the quarterback relatively firm in the pocket.
Devlin Hodges is probably the most accurate passer Kennesaw State will face all season long. He's got a completion percentage of 67% this year. He's thrown for over 3,500 yards. He's got 30 touchdown passes, but he does have 10 interceptions. And turnover plank will be on the field, of course. And this Kennesaw State team has 32 turnovers, which ranks first in the conference and first in the nation. So that is going to be – well, you want to think about – they're not just going to be able to throw the ball and sling it where they want to, because they have a good wide receiver in Kelvin McKnight. But this Kennesaw State defense has put teams on notice. If you make a mistake, we're going to make you pay.
Last week in the press conference, Anthony Gore said he wanted the turnover plank. What'd he do? He went out there and got the turnover plank. That is what Coach Bryan is saying. Turnovers are contagious, and when you have something fun on the sideline like the plank, albeit how, you know, silly it can be viewed, it makes players want to hold that up. It makes them – it's a rallying cry. Yeah. And Anthony Gore said in the press conference last week, I want to hold up the plank. Then he gets an interception in the end zone.
The one thing that stands out when you look at Samford, and two, you made this point a little bit ago, what they don't have a lot of offensively is balance. Mm-hmm. They don't run the ball especially well. So, you know, from a defensive perspective, it gives you a little bit better idea what you're going to key on and what you're going to – essentially focus on to get them under control. Obviously, they're going to get their yards. Hodges is probably going to have a good game. But you can't completely discount one part of their offense. But you know what part of it you seriously have to worry about when you develop a defensive game plan.
Absolutely. And defensive coordinator Brian Newberry has had this Owls team locked and loaded the entire season in terms of stopping the run. They finished, I believe, in the top 10 in the country in terms of run rush defense. And Samford, only 7 rushing touchdowns on the entire season. When we played them the first time, I believe they still were under 100 yards rushing, set the standard for how the Owls played defensively the entire season. But as you said, Devlin Hodges, he's solid in quarterback position. Obviously, they're going to attempt to come in here with a more balanced attack, try to do some things differently than they did the first game, knowing that the Owls did dominate them on both sides of the ball. Of course,
that outgained them 200 and some yards.
Definitely, and turnovers as well. I think the one thing that really hurt the Owls, as well as coming out that third quarter a little lethargically, was the penalties. And we talked about that. I believe it was nine penalties.
Almost 100 yards, no doubt.
You can't have that. So going into this game, they've improved throughout the season, have had some penalty games with almost double-digit penalties, but they've improved down the stretch. And that's what we were talking about, I think, three games ago. You're peaking at the right time. Mm-hmm. You're doing things the right way at the right time. This team has never, as of late at least, has not let the moment get too big for them, you know, knowing that they've been playing playoff games for the last 2 or 3 weeks now.
No doubt.
Playoff-type caliber football for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I really don't expect anything different this week.
One quick thing, too. We lose sight of the fact that if the Southern Conference had replay, the Owls would have won the game anyway.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Dustin Sumter was a foot and a half inside the line and caught a touchdown pass where he was ruled out of bounds. And that happens here. You've got a Big South officiating crew, essentially, where, you know, now you do have replay. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
And you can always go back in the what ifs and buts, but that game, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And, you know, Kennesaw State has been playing 60-minute football and really highly competitive football since Liberty. Actually, since that last drive against North Greenville, which I kind of talked about maybe at Cornerstone. But all the Big South games, I mean, Kennesaw State really hasn't seen a whole lot of challenge. I mean, they have just dominated teams, and that's why they've drawn so much attention. This team's averaging 445 yards per game. They're under 100 rushing yards, whereas Samford only averages 80 yards per game. They're leading rusher has 24 yards per game is what his average is. Yeah. So they are going to have a big-time difficulty. And two, when a team is one-dimensional, I imagine the defense starts licking its chops.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. And then what happens is if you know you can't run the ball, and I think we alluded to this last week, look at every game where the Owls got up big around halftime.
Yeah.
We sit there on the broadcast and say, well, the other team is going to have to start throwing the ball. What happens when they throw the ball? This defense, these Owls are ball hawks, an interception in every game, at least one in every game this season. You know the guys are back there waiting to catch the ball. And I think the Taylor miss the first one? And
yeah, he remember that? It was like a fair punt. Catch
right,
for that.
But these guys are so opportunistic. And then once they score, I think it's like 100-some-odd yards, points rather, scoring off of turnovers that the offense, they turn it right into points.
And that's also a credit to Coach Newberry. How many times have we seen them come out in the third quarter with a look that we didn't see in the first half? How many times have we seen them on a big third down in the fourth quarter come out with a look that we haven't seen all game? He has back pocket wrinkles that are phenomenal, and it's always the right play call in the right situation. And even those late drives when teams are driving to try to tie or win or get back into ball games, he doesn't play that prevent defense that – you know, most times allow teams to get really close. He plays good coverage, softer, so they allow space, but how many times does that result into moving a coverage and Taylor Hinkle getting an interception like he did in Montana State? Those are the big things.
And to that point, one of the things that we also talk about on the broadcast is that zone defense they play. And then throughout the entire game, you start to see teams target right behind the linebacker before the cornerback. And on the broadcast, we're like, you have to close that space down, close that space. It seems like the Owls defense baits the team, other team, into throwing that play, thinking they have it the entire game. And then right when the time is needed, turnover, and they've been doing it the entire season.
And on the other side of the coin, Grant Chestnut, some of the things that he's done during the year, you know, where all of a sudden they go to an eye look. A defensive coordinator on the sidelines got to be thinking, what in the world are the – so, you know, you go to an eye look. We saw it at Liberty, too, where they all of a sudden with T.J. Reed started to run those counter plays. Mm-hmm. Last week when Monmouth started to shoot their corners up to shut down the outside perimeter game, bang, Xavier Harper down the field, right down the hash mark. So there's so many wrinkles, and it's a constantly evolving process. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of things in this game that the Owls do offensively that Samford didn't see and didn't scout when they prepared for the Owls the first time around.
And if there's anything that you think you want Chandler to improve on is his passing accuracy, because there's been some plays down the field that he just couldn't get the ball to the wide receiver. But against Monmouth, he put a ball on Justin Sumter in the end zone that was beautiful. And just all Sumter had to do was just, you know, out-jump the defender, and it was a touchdown. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, it was a beautiful ball. If you can add that recipe or element to what you're already doing well, which is going to be run the football. And what's great about this Kennesaw State offense, we've seen it all year, if someone dedicates to stopping the perimeter, Kennesaw State's pounding it inside and being effective with it. If they load the box, the speed, and T.J. Reed has been, and we hadn't mentioned his name, he's been a great addition and really stepped up. Shaq Terry and Darnell Holland, they've done a great job, and even Trey Shivers has gotten his chance. I think he put a juke move on someone down there against Monmouth that guy's shoes are still sitting out there, I think. But, you know, they're just loaded with weapons. If you can add a passing element, which we've kind of seen it develop over the season, oh boy, this team is going to be tough.
And let's not forget, Chandler Burks had his career high in terms of passing yardage the first time out against Samford, 225 yards. So, you know, he's seen some things that he does like in terms of getting the ball to his skill position players. And you talk back to what you're saying, Brian, about the variations of this option offense. We saw the jet sweep develop where Chandler just gets the snap and quickly hands it around to Darnell Holland, who gets to the perimeter so fast and defenses aren't able to react. So many different variations of ways to attack you. And also, my guy, the wrecking ball, Bronson Reckstein, from essentially a B-back or what is traditionally known as a full-back position, running the ball, getting an explosive. You don't see that in college football. He gets to the outside and is able to rumble 30-some-odd yards down the field and score. I mean, the weapons are just endless for this Owls offense.
And for Samford, they have to be worried about one other thing that Kennesaw has done, those 8, 9, 10-minute drives. Because if you're Samford, that forces you, one, to maximize possessions, and two, being a pass-happy team, if you go 3 and out a couple of times and Kennesaw gets the ball back, you quickly find yourself in holes if you're not completing passes, getting first downs, moving the chains. So for Samford, they have to worry about that aspect, too, of the clock is not going to be our friend from kickoff, because we have an offense that scores in about 8-9 minutes probably is the high end. Kennesaw State can hold the ball for 12 minutes easy if they so choose.
Well, in a 10-1 team and a team that won 10 consecutive games, needless to say, the Owls have gathered a whole bunch of hardware this week. Coach Bohannon was named the Big South Coach of the Year. Here are his thoughts on that.
I think anytime you get recognition, especially in my chair, I think it's a representation of a body of work over a period of time with a lot of people involved, our staff, our players, everything that's gone on, you know, since we've started this thing. I think it kind of represents that a little bit. Y'all know how I am when it comes to that stuff. You know, I'm appreciative and thankful, but really I think it represents a body of work that's going on with the Kennesaw State football program. And we've made a lot of progress. We're not where we want to be yet, but we've sure made a lot of progress.
For the fourth time this season, Chandler Burks was named the Big South Offensive Player of the Week and then later also named the Big South Offensive Player of the Year. Here are Chandler's thoughts on that.
I can't even take any recognition for it. All the recognition is for my teammates and my Lord and Savior. Without him, you know, I wouldn't have the opportunity to play this game. And like it was alluded to earlier, you know, the starting five linemen, being on first team and second team all conference, and when you have that kind of resume up in front of you, a lot of things are going to happen. A lot of good things will happen. And, you know, that's credit to Coach Chestnut and Coach Cook doing a great job with those guys. To play this that position within this offense is a demon in itself, and they do a great job every week accepting challenges and creating the movement and creating plays for us. And with my running backs, my slots, you know, Jake McKenzie, Bronson, Sam, fullback, and my receivers doing a heck of a job as well, making plays out there. You know, it's all the credit to them and my teammates. I can't take any recognition for it.
Bryson Armstrong was named the Defensive Player of the Week in the Big South. Here are Bryson's comments.
It's a really nice feeling hearing the awards I won, but like Chandler said, really all credit goes to the coaches and my teammates. And then, you know, seeing the older guys on the list that, you know, maybe this might be their last year, the seniors and stuff, that's incredible for them. All the stuff that they've done, you know, these past few years is great. But it was a nice feeling. I can honestly say that I have the best teammates and the best coaches.
So when you add it all up, guys, I like the fact that the Owls have this game at home. And obviously, from what we hear early on, and we're recording this on Wednesday, from what we hear early on, a lot of interest in tickets. So you hope you're going to have a big, raucous crowd here. But I think the biggest thing about this game is the difference in this Owls team from the one that took on Samford back on August 31st. This team was playing nothing like it's playing right now on all sides of the ball, and I like the Owls' chances to win and potentially win big.
Well, the thing with the Owls is they know their identity. They know what this 2017 team is about. Obviously, the core is the run game, accurate passing, or efficient passing, and stellar defense. And, of course, special teams, they don't need to have 50, 60-yard returns for touchdowns. All they need to do is control the game. And when the kicking game comes in terms of points, Justin Thompson been getting it done the entire season, as Nate alluded to earlier.
Should have pointed out, too, Big South Special Teams Player of the Year.
Yeah, exactly. Special Teams Player of the Year. And hasn't missed an extra point the entire season. I think he's like 13 of 16 field goals. Just a tremendous job collectively of what this team does.
I think they grew up. I think that was the rite of passage. They finally are together. They finally know everything. And it's second thought. It's second instinct. It's the way Chandler Burks has been playing has just been phenomenal. And there's a reason why he's on the Walter Payton watch list. It's natural for him at this point. And that's the biggest thing for these guys. A lot of these guys didn't play anywhere close to this style of offense coming out of high school. Now, a lot of them 3 years into the playing game. Bronson Rechsteiner, first year moving over to offense, it's clicking for all of them, and it's second instinct for them, and I think that's the biggest thing. It's a rite of passage. They grew up, and now they're imposing their will on other teams.
Well, in Kennesaw State, that first game, when we kind of got together and talked about the schedule, that was the toughest game we saw on their entire schedule, was that Samford game, and it was coming at a time where you just didn't know. You didn't know what was going to happen. You'd lost Chastain Bennett. You'd lost the defensive backs.
12 seniors.
And so now you're trying to find that chemistry, find that what works, and that first game's always tough, and it's always a lot of big questions. Look at Liberty. They went down to Baylor, and everyone said, wow, look at Liberty. They're going to be so good. They just beat an FBS team. Well, then you find out Baylor is not very good, and Liberty struggled all year long. So you never know what's going to happen in that very first game. Plus, you throw in a 3-hour lightning delay, which you know, guys, if you remember, we're sitting around and the coaching staff's asking the medical staff, can we play this game? These guys are going to have to go back out there on a wet field and the tape is wet on them. We don't have enough to. And they talked about canceling that game. Yeah. It was that close. And finally, they got a break in it. We went out and played. And the team did come out flat, no doubt about it. You said lethargic. I thought that was a perfect definition of what happened. They came out lethargic. That's a tough. They had music. That was about it. They just couldn't get off that snide of that long delay. Yeah. And then they come out. And then finally in the fourth quarter, you start seeing them come to life and climbing back in it. But at that point, you let a good team get ahead, and it was an uphill battle at that point. It's a totally different game. Throw that game out the window. You can look at the stats, just throw it out the window. This Samford team is different. Kennesaw State is different. And, you know, it's going to take place on the field, man. And this is the matchup they wanted. Both teams are going to be fired up.
At least for me, it's a little bit like you're facing a similar quarterback to Bahar, that is, although a better guy when he's throwing on the run. And you're facing Charleston Southern's defense. Yeah. You did pretty well against both of them with the role you've been on. I like the Owls' chances to win and potentially win big.
Yeah, for Kennesaw State, it's right for the picking. This is the game the players wanted. This is the game, actually, that matches up very well for them. Some of the other teams that they had, the Owls, you know, kind of projected to play. Forget about that. This is the game the kids want. This is the game that they're 100% prepared for. So now Coach Bohannon has a reference point from early in the year. He doesn't have to spend as much time watching film, breaking down film, as it would for be one of these teams that he hasn't seen before. So now you get a chance to implement more wrinkles offensively and defensively. And as you mentioned, coming off that long delay, that third quarter was a wash. That's one of those baseball games where it's 20-10. You just throw it out the books, whatever happened, and you move on to the next day. And that's just what it is. That fourth quarter is what you take. You take the resiliency of your team. Once they got back in the game, how they fought and still almost won that game. And now you just apply, hey, we finally been able to put together four quarters of football. Let's do it here Saturday night. And we advance. We play Jacksonville State.
And how about that? We're talking a brief 3 years since we started broadcasting. Yeah. Now the Owls playing their first ever playoff game. You have to expect all the fans to come out and check this out and see what they've been missing if they haven't came all year, or continue to support what they've been witnessing the entire season. And you have your top ranked rushing attack and all conference players up and down the roster here. You have to expect that vibe, that aura, that momentum of playoff football to show itself at Fifth Third Bank Stadium, 2 p.m. on Saturday. Where else would you want to be, man? This is it. The Thanksgiving holiday. Families are in town still. This is the place to be Saturday.
Well, I can tell you this much. There will not be an empty seat. And if it's not filled with the black and gold, it's going to be filled with the blue and red. Yeah. Because Samford, I mean, we made the trip. It's about 2.5 hours away.
Yeah.
They will travel, and they will travel well. So Kennesaw State fans, and I went and looked last night, and there are some tickets available, but it does look like it's filling up quickly. So, and you know what the price point on these tickets are? About $30. So if you can take a family of three or four and not really break the bank before Christmas. So man, I hope the fans get out there. And of course, the students they have the lottery and they've got their tickets. So we want this place rocking. I was really happy with the response. Monmouth, they had probably 1,200 to 1,500 fans over there, student fans over there that stayed the whole game.
Well, the Owls will take on Samford in the first round of the playoffs. That comes your way on radio here in the Atlanta area on 1230 The Fan 2 and 106.3 FM, also on your TuneIn app at 1230 The Fan 2. And then if you just want to use the old-fashioned web method, just go to atlantasportsstation.com and click on the 1230 The Fan 2 banner. Pre-game coverage begins at 1:30 and kick between the Owls and Bulldogs shortly after 2 o'clock. As we cap this, guys, the biggest thing for me is, from the Samford perspective, you're playing a team that's this good, this talented, and a team that's been playing this well, and then you add the caveat of highly motivated to beat you. Mm-hmm. For that reason, as we make predictions to wrap this up, I'm predicting the Owls win, and I'm predicting the Owls win somewhat handily, 37-16.
I'm right there with you, Brian. I just think the way this team has been playing on offense, anything that any team the last, heck, 9, 10 games has been throwing at the Owls, offensively particularly, they've been able to handle, finding different ways to score, finding different ways to win games on defense, turnovers. Same thing, I predict the Owls win. I never do a score, but I definitely predict that they win pretty big.
34-16, I think the Owls win. I just think they impose their will, and Samford's going to have to throw the ball late, and they get probably a garbage time touchdown.
You know, I would say that I think I'm pretty comfortable saying Kennesaw State's going to win a 42-20 type game. It's the way they beat Monmouth. But this team's not looking just for revenge. They're looking for a reckoning for their season. They're looking for that message type game, that one loss that's been lingering. They're going to be come ready, and we know the players. Of course, we get a chance to be around them. They're fired up over the Samford game, and Samford's going to have a tough match coming in here. But I think we are ready for a competitive football match on Saturday.
Final Word Podcast, we will have one for you next week also, as we hope that we'll be taking a look at Jacksonville State, but a tall order ahead of the Owls before that as they take on Samford on Saturday. I want to thank the entire crew. Even Jake finally shows up at the end here, but the entire crew. Tutan, good to have you aboard. Brandon, thanks for everything all year. We'll plan to have you with us next week also, and then Nathan, you'll be on the field, and it's supposed to be a pretty darn nice day here on Saturday too as the Owls take on Samford. This is the Final Word Podcast. Ryan Giffen, thanks to all of you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.